Welcome to Breakdown. I'm Charles Ames. Today we'll talk with Jenny Hitchens, Pierce County Council Member, position number 6. We'll discuss what a county actually is, its responsibilities, and Pierce County's activities in particular. The budget takes center stage along with concerns about homelessness and uniting cities with nonprofits to address it as well. She also says that you will have a chance to name their new vacuum truck. We'll discuss housing affordability and construction. She gives us an update on the county's lawsuit win against opioids. Then, I'll debate with my conservative friend, Dr. Phil Kiever. I'll ask him what a GOP paradise would look like during this holiday season, and can democracy be salvaged if Trump gets a second term? And then I'll finish with a discussion on the myth of binary sexuality. It will take your breath away to find out how the world and history might disagree with you on how many genders there actually are. That's all coming up now in Breakdown. Let's roll. This is Charles Ames with KTAH-FM. I'm speaking today with Jenny Hitchens, council member, position number 6, as I recall.
That is correct.
Thank you very much for joining me. And therefore, I'd like to maybe start off asking you, when I was a young kid, it was very easy to see what a city is and what it does, why a state apparently needs to be a thing. But it took a few years before I realized, no, wait a second. In addition to that, there are also county divisions. What is a county?
A county is essentially a subdivision of a state. It creates political boundaries. And before we had major cities, we had a lot of communities that had that weren't a city, that weren't a town, but they were a community. And when we first were establishing the United States, we mimicked how many of the communities in Europe, where they have boroughs and they have parishes, and they just have these smaller communities that basically you have a government that supports everybody that lives within that community, even if they don't have a city behind them. And it stuck. And so every state now has counties. Washington actually has some of the fewest as far as the numbers of counties. I think Hawaii has the least amount because I believe each island is a county. But we have 39 counties in Washington state. There are some states that have over 100 and they're smaller geographies than we are. But it's just how they broke things out.
Does it have to do with population density?
Nope. Somebody drew maps and they decided to go that route. So the way every state treats their counties is also different. And then within Washington state, each county could be based on the original state constitution, which is means you have 3 commissioners to represent the population of your county. You could also be a charter county, which Pierce County is. That was done, I want to say, in the 80s. And we became a charter county by voting ourselves to do that. We created our own level structure of government. And that means we have an elected executive and a 7-member voted in by district. So the people that vote me in for District 6 live in District 6.
You've probably covered a little bit of this already, but how are counties similar and how is Pierce County different?
So similar as we have elected members, we are the stewards of our courts and sheriff's departments, every single county, no matter if you're Klickitat County with a tiny little community, less than some of the populations of our cities. And you have count. We also supervise or oversee all of our county roads and our court systems. And then we are also the receiver of a lot of the federal dollars as far as the HUD dollars, so housing and urban development dollars, and then senior services. We do a lot with senior services. And so people that are trying to age in place or need supportive services, we have case management. And that goes through the county and that runs federal dollars to the county so we can do the boots on the ground within our community.
And Does every county have a health department? I don't see one like at the city level. The reason I ask this is because who knew what a health department was until a couple, 3 years ago and the onset of COVID-19?
Yep. We have a unique situation. I think we're one of two in the state that is a joint city-county partnership. So we are slightly different. Again, because we are a charter county, we basically get to choose how we want to run things. In other jurisdictions, the health department board of directors is actually the county board of supervisors or the commissioners. And other regions, they have other partnerships. We also have some multi-county health departments. But for us, we have an interlocal agreement, so contract with the city of Tacoma and the county. And then we also bring in the medical field and someone representing our smaller cities and towns to make up the Board of Health, who then oversees at a policy level what's going on at the health department.
And that's just the beginning of the fun. Apparently, you were saying that recently the county had to pass a budget.
We did, yes. So for those following along, we run a $3.2 billion two-year biennium budget. This accounts for all of the deputies that are in our jail, along with actually running our jail. It accounts for our superior court, our district court, probation, our roads, wastewater management, and our sewer division. I mean, it's a little bit of everything, and it all goes through our budgeting process. And the executive writes the budget initially with his departments that he oversees, and then our other electeds, like the auditor and the sheriff, put their budgets all into this one document. It comes to us, and then we spend about 6 to 8 weeks looking over things, asking questions, making modifications, and then we passed it last week unanimously. So now it's back to the executive, and he can either sign on or veto it. We are assuming, since we've heard no rumblings, that he's signing on to it.
Is this annual or?
It's biennial. Yeah, it's a two-year budget. So we went to two-year operating budget in 2019. So before I was on, it could be 2018, but 2019 is about when I remember seeing things around that at the county. We used to be every year, but we switched to 2 years because it allowed for more sustainability and less uncertainty with our departments as far as funding and for project management.
So is there anything new in the budget that people might be interested in or be glad to hear about?
So we continued to fund the retention bonuses and the signing bonuses for our deputies to try and fill some of the gaps that we continue to have there. We're constantly hiring. So if anybody is looking for a job in law enforcement, Pierce County Sheriff's Department is hiring. We also heard a lot from community members around continuing to work on addressing both our chronic homelessness and then shelter space. I am really excited around some of the work around what we call the unified regional approach, which is about bringing other communities together and our nonprofits to really come up with a plan to work on ending chronic homelessness, ending homelessness period in Pierce County. And that takes some deliberation and some teamwork. And so we've devoted some dollars to that. And a random small investment, budget dust, you might say, but I think might make some big impact, is we bought a vacuum truck to deal with roadside litter. Simple thing. We'll see how it works, but it's something that people pretty regularly reach out about. And so we did the Planning and Public Works did some research. They wanted us actually to buy two of them. I'm like, let's see if they actually work. Our climate's a little different than, some of these other areas. And then if it really works well, it might be something we do. But there'll actually be a naming process for that coming out. So if you want to help name the Pierce County Public Works, I keep calling it a sucker truck, but a vacuum truck. Please, keep in touch with us, and we'll get that process started in 2024.
A lot of homelessness, it seems like, is tied to the cost of housing. Is there anything, we've only got a couple minutes left, is there anything that we can do about that? And what does it mean for Pierce County, that Tacoma, it looks like it's going to be passing tenant rights.
Yeah, so earlier this year, we finally passed the 0.1% for housing and homelessness. And so it's called the Maureen Howard Act, after Maureen Howard was a champion in our community for decades for housing and homelessness. And what that does is it brings in about $20 million to actually go towards building affordable and permanent supportive housing. And one of the things is people are cycling in and out of housing, you find that one of the things that happens is it's just not stable. And so this will allow us to actually invest in building housing. It would allow us to help subsidize the purchase of land or permitting projects, or actually, you know, partnering with nonprofits and for-profit companies to actually build affordable housing, permanently affordable housing in our county, which is a huge need. We're thousands of units short, hundreds of thousands, actually.
Super. Now, just in the few seconds that remain, is there anything that you perhaps would like to say, or hopes, or what is perhaps affecting us most? Anything in that order?
Yeah, one of the things, it was people may be familiar with the lawsuit where we went after the makers of opioids. I really rarely talk to somebody who doesn't know someone or have a family member that's been touched by addiction. And so we did some initial investments in the dollars that we got from that lawsuit, and continuing to work with our opioid task force and our other communities, other cities, to really see how we can do some investing of those dollars. Over the next 17 years, this county will see about $50 million come in. Not near enough, but with some really smart investments, we can do some good work and really try and start to help community heal and heal families that have been torn apart by this epidemic.
I can vouch for that. I went out to do some maintenance on my car and found a guy leaned up against his car, just almost knocked out, and down at his feet was a little piece of foil with a burn in the middle of it. And I think we know what that means. So yes, our work is cut out for us, and perhaps someday I might get an update from you, council member.
Yeah, it was great to talk with you this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Jenny Hitchens, Pierce County council member. This is Charles Ames. I'm talking with my friend Phil Kiever, who is a noted lecturer. He is a professor at Liberty University. He's also a combat veteran and a fellow brother-in-arms of mine. How are we doing, Phil?
Very good. I am coming to you from my headquarters in North Carolina. My internet connection is unstable, which means I have a lot in common with the ammunition Russians are using in the invasion of Ukraine.
Hey-o. All right. Well, you're not entirely wrong, but it is tough slogging for everybody over there with the weather turning. Now, I have sent you a couple of topics that I wanted to talk about, and God willing, and the audio holds out. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was what I call a Republican paradise. Now, at the end of the day, we've got to have to ask ourselves, if the Republicans had their way, then would there be roving conservatives forcing everyone to say Merry Christmas and then removing their pants to tan our testicles? Ever since Trump started his autocracy the day after his second term started and all the non-baggers were rounded up for the uneducation camps, people learned not to use the polio blankets, but there are millions of Mike Lindell MyPillows as far as the eye can see. Vaccinations would have been criminalized and replaced with pocket Bibles, where the word Jesus has been canceled and replaced with Mein Trump. That's my rant, Phil. Now your turn.
Wow. There are so many ways to come back at that. So I think, first of all, my testicles are already tan, so I don't need to be forced to do that. I was out at the community at a Toyota dealership that I won't name. And I said Merry Christmas to the employee there. And he replied back with Happy Holidays, which, you know, America is still a semi-free country. So he's free to say Happy Holidays to me. And I'm happy and free to say Merry Christmas to him. And we have been celebrating baby Jesus's birthday for 226 years. So why stop a good thing?
Because, of course, America was founded on Christianity, right?
Well, yes. Our founders very astutely and deliberately made us, not made us, our rights come from God, but expressed that our government is founded in a Judeo-Christian founding as our representative republic. So I think it's important to adhere to our founding principles and our founding documents until such time as they are amended. And there is a process for that. So go for it.
Because you remember in the Constitution where it says that school prayer is compulsory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right under the centerfold of Congresswoman Bobart.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to bring up the Treaty of Tripoli and how Thomas Jefferson was essentially, what's the term for him? I'm sure he had a one-on relationship with God, as do I, but the separation of church and state, I think, in that case was fairly obvious. But now, Phil, when I say Happy Holidays, I'm not saying just Merry Christmas. I'm also saying Happy Thanksgiving. I'm also saying Happy New Year. I'm also saying Hanukkah Samich. I'm also saying have a nice Diwali. I'm saying even I'm stretching back to as far as Veterans Day, Happy Halloween. It's not just paying fealty to He who is risen.
I think that is a terrific stretch, but good for you. If I hear someone say Happy Holidays only during the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I would not think that even you as a veteran would be referencing Veterans Day or Independence Day or St. Patrick's Day or Groundhog's Day. I would think that you are I would think that you are making a passing reference to Thanksgiving and Christmas. But I think we can put a period at the end of this part of the conversation. You asked me, you know, in your rant, what a Republican paradise would look like. And I don't have a My Pillow. I just have my pillow, right? It's just mine. It doesn't belong to anyone else. I didn't get it from anyone else. It's my pillow. But what would a Republican paradise look like? We need to have a serious conversation, not just about balancing the budget, but paying down the debt. So to service our debt now in this fiscal year is $1 trillion in interest per year, which means we have to cut the deficit, or not the deficit, we have to cut our spending budget, our appropriations, by $1 trillion and $1 just to start paying down the interest.
Then are you saying that an $8 trillion tax cut to billionaires that Trump signed in was not a good idea?
I think Trump did wonderful and horrible things during his administration. I have always been a big believer in Reaganomics over Bidenomics, and it's not trickle down. I think it's waterfall down when you allow those that hold capital to free their capital, to reinvest in our capitalistic society, then a rising tide raises all boats.
There is a little wiggle room in that on both sides. But Trump himself has said that if he was elected, one of the times we talked about recently, that he would assemble an army of over 50,000 loyalists and that he would create detention camps for Democrats, for Muslims, and with a wink and a nod, obviously we can expect that those Muslims might extend to blacks and Hispanics and maybe Asians. And I realize that there's a little bit of hyperbole in that, because no, he did not cut Obamacare. No, he did not sue the 22 women that accused him of sexual harassment. No, he did not lock up Hillary Clinton. The question is, Dr. Kiever, is what is Trump really going to do if he gets a second term? Because I just have this sensation. I don't think I'm wrong, and I don't think many people disagree with me. He's going to turn it into an autocracy. Democracy will be dead.
All right. Well, I swore to uphold and defend the same Constitution as you, as well as many others. I know that you and I don't rise to the level of those, you know, rascals on January 6th that may or may not have broken the law. I wasn't there. I guess I'm not in the right Facebook groups. I didn't even know about it until I saw it on the news. But I have an AR-15. I have armor-piercing rounds. I have tracer rounds. And I will fight any enemy, foreign or domestic, who attempts to usurp, go around, upend, and or, you know, trod over our founding documents and principles, even if that is President Trump in his second term. So you and our listeners can count on me to be Team America and not Team Trump.
And Phil, I will be alongside of you of anyone who does not preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, just moments ago, I read again where Trump's lawyers are saying in his testimony that he never claimed that he would support the Constitution. He took the oath that says preserve, protect, and defend, but he says he is immune from supporting, air quotes, the Constitution.
I don't know what goes on in his head at 2 a.m. when he's on X or Truth or Instagram or whatever. I do know that since Trump has been in the public life for, you know, all of my adult life and most of my childhood, he has said a lot of things that he doesn't follow through with. And, you know, let's be clear. One of his talents is running the circus. I mean, he's Barnum and Bailey, who got elected to president. And, you know, sometimes you get what you deserve. He's a showman and he's good for TV. He is as good for the modern social media realm as John F. Kennedy was when TV was, you know, used to broadcast the first presidential debate. Love him or hate him, Trump was born for this moment. And by this moment, I mean like this decade. You know, I mean, this is his time to shine or smell like a turd, whatever, you know, side of the political spectrum you fall on.
Well, I've heard it said more than once that if you elect a clown, you should expect a circus. So I think we, in some strange way, agree on that. We've been talking with Dr. Phil Kiever, and I always value the time that I get to talk with him. Thank you so much, Phil. I love you, man.
I still hate your guts.
Good night, Phil.
Gotcha.
Listen, a doctor recently said, working in the Deep South, I've heard a lot of patients' final words be about the regret they have for disowning their LGBT children and the relationships they could have had. Consider the XX chromosome. Even if you're XY, half of you is still X. How many have been molested by priests? Almost 2,000. How many by same-sex couples or drag queens? A recent headline read, "The Y chromosome is vanishing. A new sex gene could be the future of men." You know what? Drag queens freak me out too. But I don't feel some murky, undefined compulsion to quash them for some reason I don't want to face. And where would we even start? Monty Python? Doubt it. RuPaul? Okay, let's say he's gone. Tyler Perry? Okay. Rudy Giuliani? George Santos, Some Like It Hot, Mrs. Doubtfire, Dame Edna, Auntie Mildred, Maud Frickert, Tootsie, Klinger, Rocker Horry, Bugs Bunny, Bosom Buddies, Divine, Boy George, Mary Martin as Peter Pan. Well, what about New Orleans' Red Dress Run for Charity? What about Harvard University's annual Hasty Pudding Show? The U.S. Navy's Equatorial Shellback Ceremony? Every Shakespeare play done in the late 16th century? How do you judge the hundreds of women that disguise themselves as men to fight for the Confederacy in the Civil War? Look, nobody's telling you have to sit through a TikTok makeup tutorial. come out of the cave into the light of day. Is this a threat to your traditional marriage? When we say traditional marriage, does that include the two concubines Abraham had? Or does that include polygamy like Esau and Rehoboam, who each had three wives? Does that include when a rapist has to marry the victim and pay the father 50 shekels? Does that include when a slaveholder assigns a female slave to a male slave? Does that include when a soldier plunders a female prisoner, but only if she's a virgin? And who's doing the quality control on that? Shakespeare's plays had men stand in as women. Women were not allowed on stage. Biblically, how are women created? They are a part of man. Woman was taken from man. Let's all turn to today's reading, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Heard of the XXY chromosome or Klinefelter syndrome or XXX, also called trisomy X? XXXY? It happens. Go ahead, ask how many genders there are. In seahorses, males get pregnant instead of females. Notice what happens when you cram too many rats together? Variations occur. You know how many hermaphrodites there are in the U.S.? You know about intersex? Do you know about androgen insensitivity syndrome or uterine factor infertility? Or Mayhew, a third gender with traditional spiritual and social roles within the Hawaiian culture? Or Mushes, a recognized third gender among the Zapotec people in Oaxaca? Salmacians, Guevedoches, Native Americans viewed the androgynous as magical, valuable. Hate to break it to you, but all human embryos begin life as females. Men have estrogen. Women have to have testosterone to develop gender traits. Do you think every person has the exact same amount? A recent headline says, "Every baby sea turtle in Florida seems to be female. We warned you," scientists say. Here's your homework. Look up plastic estrogen. The chemicals in plastic leach estrogen into water and affect the hormone levels of humans. You frat bros don't drink water? Well, you can also inhale it or absorb it through touching plastic. You know that age, diet, weight, sleep all affect your androgen levels? And if you don't know what androgen levels are, why are you even having this discussion? When you include the traditional division, how many is that so far? And what will we have when there are 10 billion people all consuming plastic? Boys used to wear pink and girls wore blue. The word girl used to refer to small male and female children. Conservatives used to burn witches, kill natives, kill blacks, persecute Irish, attack Protestants, forbid intermarriage, quote-unquote deprogram gays. What are you fighting now? And have you ever stopped long enough to ask, if men and women are nothing alike, why do men have nipples? Now tell me where I'm wrong.